by the Mishnah Chofetz Beis. Mishnah says, Zachwal, the general rule as far as table and as far as postal is as follows. Kol Shechet HaMakabal V'Mahalach V'Azor. The person does any one of the four main avodas, and he has in mind doing one of it, Lechol Davar Shadakar Lechol, that's something that normally is eaten, that he's going to eat, or something that Lahakter Davar Shadakar Lahakter, or something that's normally going to be burnt on the Zayach that he's going to burn. As we said the other day, we had Rabbi Yezer saying that that it's possible to interchange them, but the Chachamim disagree with that. To say, for example, that something that's normally supposed to be eaten that he's going to burn, or vice versa, and that could also make it possible to kigul if he has a form of machshavas chutz mana and chutz mekayim. The Chachamim disagree with that, though. So if kazayas chutz mekayim, if he has in mind doing any of these avodas that he's going to eat or burn, a kazayas outside of the place, outside of the proper place, outside the Azara, or as we discussed yesterday, maybe
even
outside Yerushalayim, even though most of it is inside, right? Posel and Mekaris, so the Korban is Posel, however, there's no Karis involved, because Chutzul Mekarimo, there's no Karis, as we learned before. Chutzul Manoi, but if he has in mind Chutzul Manoi, Tigul, Lachayov, and Alakaris, then it's Tigul, and a person would be Chayav Karis for eating any amount of it. Even again, even though he only had a Kazai, even though he only had a Kazai's in mind. Right. Okay. However, provided there's another factor which we've mentioned before also in the Gemara, that the matir, whatever it is that makes the korban mutter, has to be done kimitzvah, has to be done according to its proper mitzvah, meaning that there's no other psul involved. You can't have that there was also a psul in order for it to be pigul, you can't have that there was also a psul of pigul shul is chutz mana. You can't have that along with the chutzlas manay, there was also a thought of chutzla mekayimai, or a thought of shalai lishmai, but the karbonis were possible shalai lishmai, because then that's the exclusion principle that we said the other day.
Yeah.
Why do we have to because we mentioned in the Gemara, we mentioned in the Mishnah. So now the Mishnah is
Yeah.
And besides, we're going to see later on in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that partially.
Yeah,
because no. Well, we're going to see what Rabbi Yehuda says. We don't know yet, but where Rabbi Yehuda has an opinion of his own, that we'll see in the Mishnah. Wait.
You mean about the exclusivity?
Yeah. Case that Karev HaMatzah Kemitzvah. So what do we mean that the Matzah was brought according to its proper mitzvah? So Shochat V'Shtika, suppose that he shechted without saying anything, or obviously if he said the right thing, that this is the proper type of korban, and it's going to take place in the proper time, etc. People becoming Shtika just means that he didn't have a machshava chutz manoi or chutz mekayim. Ideally, of course, he has the right machshava, but it's either he had no machshava at all, or he had a machshava that makes that leaves it kosher. Kibul v'halach v'zarach chutzlas manay, but then he did the kabbalah or the halacha or the zrika with the thought of chutzlas manay. It doesn't mean all three of them. Obviously, it means one or the other of them. Or the other way around, that he shechted having in mind chutzlas manay. But then he did the other three, or at least one of the other three, Kabbalah, Halacha, and Zika. He did Shishtika. Shashachat Chutzlas Manoi. He shechted, having in mind that the Zika, having in mind, of course, right. Yes. Having in mind. No. What we mean is, throughout this, what we're saying, Lechol Davar Shadakar Lechol, Lahakti Davar Shadakar Lahakti. That he has in mind that something that's going to be eaten is it going to be what people are going to eat is going to be eaten outside of the proper time, or what's going to be burned on the Mizeach is going to be burned outside the proper time. So when he does the Shchita, for example, he has in mind, let's say this is the Shlomim, he has in mind that he's going to be eating meat from it 2 days from now. So again, the one possibility is he did the Shchita properly and then he had the Machshavas Chutzlas Manoi by one of the other three avodas. Or the other way around, he did the shechita with a thought of chutzlas manoi, the kibul v'hilach v'zarach v'shtika, and then he did the kabbalah and the halacha and the zrika v'shtika without thinking anything, but already it became kibul. Right. Without any machshava that would make it possible. Right. Or that he did all four of them with the thought of chutzlas manoi. In all those cases, though, what happens is the matter, the blood, when it goes on the mizeach, is being brought kimitzvasa. There's no other psul involved. So therefore, it's able to become. Therefore, the carbon becomes pigul.
It's only Zmano.
Because the only machshavas, the only soul in there is Chutzpah Zmano, and therefore it's able to become Kesav. On the other hand, Kesav loy karav amatik mitzvah.
Say what he brought it on time.
Right. Pigle doesn't mean that he actually brought it later.
Right.
It means that he had in mind that he's going to do the, that he's going to do the eating or the burning of the pieces later.
Right.
Kesav loy karav amatik. But the point is, the master, the blood was actually brought to mitzvah without any other soul being involved. He brought the blood, he sprinkled it properly on the mizbeach, he did it that day, he did it with his right hand, etc. So there was no other soul involved. Case of like part of a master mitzvah. Say, what do we mean? The master was not brought according to his mitzvah. Meaning, shachat chutzla mekoymo. Let's say he had while he shefted, he had in mind chutzla mekoymo, that he planned to burn parts of it or eat parts of it outside the proper place, outside the azara, outside Yerushalayim, whatever. Kivol behilach v'azara chutzla zmane, and then he did all three of the other avodas with thought of chutzla zmane. Or the other way around, he did the shchita having in mind chutzpah mano, but then later on he did one or more of the other avodas with the thought of chutzpah mano. Or he did all four of them with the thought of chutzpah mano. So those mano we take out of it here because those mano is not relevant. The point is that he had chutzpah mano in mind by all four of them. Or Pesach Machatas Shoshach and Shalav Shimon, or Pesach Machatas, which we said in the first paragraph are the only karbanas, according to Alpi Alafa, where Shalav Shimon passes them. So he shefted them Shalav Shimon, the kibbutz of Hilach Bazar at Chutzpah Zmano, and then he did the other three avodas having in mind Chutzpah Zmano. Oy Shoshach at Chutzpah Zmano, or the other way around, he shefted having in mind Chutzpah Zmano, kibbutz of Hilach Bazar at Shalav Shimon, and then he did the Kabbalah Hilach and Zrika having in mind Shalav Shimon. Or he did all four avodas shalei lishman. But in all those cases, there was shalei karav hamatzah kemitzvasei. In all those cases, the matzah, the blood has not been brought kemitzvasei because there's another psul involved. There's the psul of chutzpah mekoymo, or in the case of the pesach hamachatzah, there's the psul of shalei lishman, and therefore the exclusivity principle that we said the other day, it can't become pigul. It can only become pigul if other than pigul, it would have been a kosher karav. What about lechol kazayis b'chutz kazayis l'malka? How about if he has in mind that from the same carbon, he plans to eat a kazayis of it outside the azara and a kazayis of it tomorrow? So not the same kazayis, in other words, necessarily. We'll see in the Gemara that we have. We're going to discuss whether this case in the Mishnah is talking about. Well, that's what we have to figure out. But we're going to also discuss, the first thing we're going to discuss in the Gemara is this part over here about Azayis Lachos and Kazayis Lamachar. Are we still talking about two different avodas like we were in the first part of the Mishnah? Or are we talking about even within one avoda itself, he has in mind that, let's say, during the Shita, he plans to eat Kazayis Lachos and a Kazayis Lamachar? No, let's say within the Shechita itself, he has Machsheves Makam on one Kazayis and Machsheves Man on another, right? Or Kazayis for Makam, Kazayis for Bachot, or he has in mind Kazayis tomorrow, a Kazayis outside, or Kachasi Zayis Bachot, Kachasi Zayis for Makam, or a half a Kazayis outside, the Azara, and a half a Kazayis tomorrow, Kachasi Zayis for Makam, Kachasi Zayis for Bachot. In all those cases, possible the aim by Kares. Again, the korban is possible in all those cases, but there's no Kares, because again, in order for there to be Kares, there has to be, so even you had a half a Kazayis Bachos and a half a Kazayis Bamachar, those two don't combine and make one complete Kazayis table. And if you have a Kazayis and a Kazayis, then we're saying that each one, then we're saying you have two different stories over here. Therefore it can't be payable. Yeah. Almer of Yehuda, however... Oh, okay. Hello? Almer of Yehuda, I told you we need more than two Gemaras up here. All right. So we're holding towards the end of the Mishnah. I'll cut that today. Okay. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, that's followed. Rabbi Yehuda says the rule is as follows. It's not as simple as the Tanakhama said, whether that as long as you have some other soul involved, then it can't be pierced. It depends. Kol shemachshavas hazman kodmo machshavas hamotim. If the machshavas hazman came before the machshavas hamotim, then pigul v'chayavan olav kares, then it's pigul and you'd be chayav kares for it. In other words, you did the shchita, for example, with the machshavas man, and then you did the kabbalah or halacha, etc., with machshavas makim. Rabbi Yehuda would say you ignore the machshavas makim, therefore it already became pigul through the shchita being done, with a machshava chutz manos, and therefore it's pigul, and the fact that later on you have a different soul in mind doesn't change that. Not really anis to halal isu. We'll see in the Gemara, we're going to talk about it more, an idea called tfois loshen rishon or tfois loshen achron. You go according to this first loshen. The imach shemitah.
We never mention precedence.
But Rabbi Yehuda is bringing that in. That's what I said before, that Rabbi Yehuda has a different opinion on it. The im machshavas hamakim kodim al machshavas hazman. On the other hand, if the thought of makim comes before the thought of zman, possible. But in mekores, then it's possible because of machshavas hamakim, but it's not tough, but there's no kores because it can't become pigul. Once there was machshavas hamakim, there's no room for pigul to be chav.
What do Chachamim say about that?
The Chachamim omrim, the Chachamim answer to that. Zev is possible, but in mekores. No, either way it's possible, but there's no kores, which is like the Chachamim in the first part of the Mishnah. Right, which actually leads to the question, Tosfos doesn't ask it over here, but Tosfos asks in Menachos the question, why does the Mishnah repeat that? We already have the Chachamim in the first part of the Mishnah. So there's a couple of different answers. One straightforward answer is that Rebbe wrote it this way in the Mishnah in order to clarify that the halacha is like a Chachamim. Sometimes you have the halacha will be like a single partner, but like this, we have a Stam Mishnah at the end, we have Machloikas and then a Stam, saying that doesn't matter anymore. And therefore, so that's it. So once we have machlokas v'achakastam, then we know the halacha is like a stam.
And therefore
that means the halacha is like a chum. So therefore, the order doesn't matter. There is...
When you have the chum and the stam, what's the halacha?
Well, I mean, here we have a stam mishnah like the chachamim, which says that the order doesn't matter, which was like what we said in the earlier part of the mission.
But we
need that at the end. This way it clarifies that you shouldn't think maybe the halacha could be like Rabbi Yehuda conceivably. Okay. That's one answer. There's others as well. There is, by the way, a Musa de Shavuot, they say, a Chassid de Shavuot, they say on Rabbi Yehuda's line over here that it depends on the order of precedence of Machshavas Hazman and Machshavas Hamakim. They say like this, Mokom, we know, also means Hashem. So if the Machshev, so now what do you have? So what do you have? Sometimes you have a person who has a Machshevet Hazman, they have thoughts, well, you know, the times they are changing, so we need to adjust and adapt and whatever. Yeah, okay, but not yet. We need to adjust and adapt Yiddishkeit accordingly. So at least if the person has Machshevet Hamokom first, he's first thinking, what does Hashem want? And then afterwards he starts putting in there, okay, but what about Machshevet Hazman? Okay, possible, but you can't call it pigul. You can't call it completely off limits. At least he has his priorities, right? If he has Machshevet Hazman first, and then once we get to Machshevet Hazman afterwards, we'll think, what does Hashem want? Definitely no good. Definitely pigul. Definitely off limits.
Who said that first?
I don't remember. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah finishes off. Lecho kachasizayis lahakli kachasizayis. Another answer, by the way, going back to why we had to say chachamim omrim, is because now we have another line in the Mishnah, and we have to clarify that line doesn't go according to the Yehuda. This last line that we're going to quote goes according to everybody. Okay. Lecho kachasizayis lahakli kachasizayis. What if he has in mind that he's going to eat the half of kachasizayis, chutzlus manos, and then he's going to burn another half of kachasizayis, chutzlus manos, or both of them chutzlus makomos? Kosher, then the korban is kosher, she'en achil of akhtarim et tarifin, because eating and burning cannot combine together. Because you don't have... That's the point to everybody. That's the point. That's another reason why we have to save a chachamim omrim in order to clarify that this next part of the last part is the point to everybody. Okay. So those are the basic rules, and now let's see what the Gemara says about it. Omer Ilfa, machloikis, this machloikis that we have in the Mishnah about the order of precedence, if you put machshavas zman first, machshavas makim first, Ilfa says, machloikis b'shtei avodas. That machloikis would be if the machshavas were in two different avodas. So like the case in the first part of the Mishnah, he shechted having in mind a machshavas zman, and then he kabbalah having in mind a machshavas makim.
Yeah,
the point is, Rabbi Yehuda would say there, what we have is since an entire avodah was done with machshavas man, or an entire avodah was done with machshavas makim, then that's significant enough it prevents the other one from being chas. avav avoda achas, but if it was all within one avoda, divrei hakol irav machshavah tavi, then says Ilfa, everybody would agree that the two machshavahs can combine, and therefore, in other words, therefore it wouldn't matter the order. Even Rabbi Huda would agree that it's able to become pigel, that it's able to become pigel and therefore not possible. In other words, that there's if it was not one machshava, but all within one avoda, all within one avoda. So he did the shechita, for example. He started out as we're going to see later on in the Gemara. Shechita has the stages in the shechita, but so he starts doing the shechita having in mind a machshavas chutz manoi and finishes it off doing a machshavas chutz mekayimai. Says Ilfa, it will become well chutz mekayimai and chutz manoi. Rabbi Yehuda will agree that it will still become pigul in that case because there was a machshavas chutz manoi. Well, if it started with, then of course he's going to say. But even if it didn't start, even if it started with a machshavas chutz mekayimai, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that's not enough to make it that now it's prevented from being pigul because an entire avodah wasn't being done. It wasn't done with a different stool. Only half of an avodah. That's what Ilfa says. So we'll see later on in the Gemara that means. We're going to discuss later on in the Gemara a couple of basic rules, therefore, that come out from that regarding what's considered to be what part of the shechita is a significant part and what are and certain dinim of pigul. We'll get to it soon. Okay, Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan says no. Even within one avoda itself, Rabbi Huda is going to say tfois loshen rishon. You go according to the first loshen. Therefore, once he did a machsheves makom, then that's it. There's no room for machsheves man mishal, and vice versa. Therefore, it depends on the order, even within one avoda itself, even within the shchita itself, for example. So I'm going to say the Ilfa. I can understand the Mishnah well according to Ilfa. Mitzvah reisha b'shtei avoda, seifa nami b'shtei avoda. Since the first part of the Mishnah is clearly talking about two different avodas, because it starts out he did the shechita with one machshava and he did the kabbalah and he did the kabbalah etc. with a different machshava. Well, then we can assume sefer nami the shtei avodas. Then the sefer, when it mentions this machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, can also be regarding two avodas.
Because it's all
part of one Mishnah, so it's probably talking about the same case. You're going to tell me the first part of the Mishnah is talking about two different avodas, shchita and kabbalah, let's say, and then it switches gears without telling us, and we're talking about even within one avoda itself, that Rabbi Huda is going to say that it depends on the order of precedence and the Chachamim say not. The answer is A. Yes. Rabbi Yochanan will say that's exactly what it is. Reisha b'shtei avodas. The reisha is specifically referring to two avodas because it said so, that he did shchita having one thing in mind and kabbalah having a different thing in mind. So therefore, there's no way but to explain it. That's talking about two avodas. Sefer, bein b'avodah, that's bein b'shtei avodas. The sefer, given that it doesn't specify, it may well be that it's applying to both cases, both within one avodah and two separate avodas.
Why would the Gemara be so surprised that could be?
Because it's not usual, but usually the Mishnah should have specified. If we're talking, he started shechting with one machshava and finished with another. But the answer is, okay, since it doesn't specify, then it can equally well be, both. Yeah. So now let's look back at our Mishnah and see if we can use it to prove Rabbi Yochanan's understanding or Ilfa's understanding. Tnan, we learn in the Mishnah, Om Rabbi Yehuda Zakwal, Im Machsheves Hazman Kodmal Machsheves Hamakim. We said that Rabbi Yehuda said if the thought of Zman, Chutz Zmanai, came before the thought of Chutz Zmanai, Pigol V'chayov Na'ukaris, then Pigol and you'll be Chayav Karis for it. So now we have to ask, what is Rabbi Yehuda adding with the word Zakwal? We understand well. That's why he has to continue Zakwal. This is the general rule. Because the Mishnah has not explicitly talked about the case of one avoda. The Mishnah was so far only talking about two different avodas. So Rabbi Yehuda is adding the general rule, even within one avoda, is it depends which one comes first. Elo l'ilfa, my Zakwal.
It's for both, one or several.
Yes. Elo l'ilfa, my Zakwal. But according to Ilfa, you have to ask, what is the Zakwal? What is the Zakwal coming to add? According to him, it only applies across two avodas. So then he's not really adding anything with his klal. According to Ilfa, if the machlokas is in the same case as the previous part of the Mishnah, that is all talking about two different avodas, then what is Rabbi Yehuda adding with that? Wow, we already, nothing else is really being added. Kasha. So Akasha, you're right. That leaves a Kasha on Ola. It's not a stira, but it's not a stira. No, it's not a total stira. He could say that. Sometimes we say that Zach Klal is not really meant to add anything. That's just meant to summarize what we said so far. Usually, but once in a while the Gemara will say that not. We don't know according to Ilfa why we say Zach. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to bring in a machlokas from elsewhere in Shas, from a Sefer Shmura, which we're going to relate to.
It includes one and two machshavas.
Well, Ilfa is saying not. Ilfa is saying within one machshava, Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter. So we learn a Mishnah in Tmura, which we're going to relate that Machloikas back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says over there, Harezu Tmuras Ola Tmuras Shlom. What happens? A person takes an animal and he says, this is a tmura of an ola, a tmura of a shlom. So he has standing there, one animal that's an ola, a second animal that's a shlomim, and then he takes a third animal and says, this is a tmura of an ola, a tmura of a shlomim. So what is it? Is it a tmura of both of them, or is it only one or the other? How does a tmura of ola give it a mayor? So the mayor says it is a tmura of ola because we go according to the first lashon. So in other words, as soon as he said Tmuras Ola, then it becomes a Tmuras Ola. So now it has the Kedusha of an Ola. Now there's no room for the Tmuras Shlomim to be Chalai, which is similar to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. It says they go according to the first Lashon.
And what do we prove from that?
Well, we're going to get to. We're going to discuss how this relates to our Mishnah. Okay, but we're going to use it to relate back to our mission. This is when the Gemara starts off a discussion with Tznan Hossam. Whenever the Gemara starts off a discussion with Tznan Hossam, it means we're going to do that. We're going to bring in a different Mishnah. We're going to analyze it, and then we're going to see if we can make it relate to our Mishnah. Okay, so that's for me. Amar Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, no, it depends. Im lakach niskavin tchila, if he actually had that in mind to begin with, that when he said Tmuras Ola, he meant to continue Tmuras Shlomim, then we say, it doesn't mean that we go according to the first wash. And after all, you can't say them both at the same time. You're not physically able to say Ola and Shlomim together. Of necessity, you have to say something in between. You have to say one of them first. Therefore, Dvarav Chayomim, then what he said counts. In other words, we say it is indeed the Tmura of an Ola and the Tmura of a Shlomim. Now, an animal can't be brought as both an ola and a shlomim. So what actually happens then in that case is we leave it to graze until it develops a mum. Then we sell it, and we use half the money from it to buy an ola and half the money from it to buy a shlomim. So that's if he meant to say both of them to begin with. The im mishomah harezu tmuras ola. On the other hand, if after he said tmuras ola, the nimlach, then he changed his mind. But Omar Harezu Tmuras Shlomim. Then he changes his mind and says, no, instead I want it to be a Tmuras Shlomim. Then you're right, Harezu Ola, then it's a Tmuras Ola, because then once it's Tmuras Ola, you're not able to change it. Tosfos learns over here on the basis of a Gemara in Bava Kamma.
So you have to ask him.
Okay, so wait. So that's between Tosfos and the Rambam. Tosfos learns on the basis of a Gemara in Bava Kamma that it depends. If he said it, the Toshkide Dibur, Then it means he meant to continue saying. If he said Tmuras Ola, and then within Tosfos Kedibur, he said Tmuras Shlomim, then we would say that means he intended both. If it was after Tosfos Kedibur, then that's what Rabbi Yossi is saying. Then you wait till the animal develops a mum and sell it, and you pass the money for an Ola and half for a Shlomim. If he said it after Tosfos Kedibur, though, then it doesn't matter, even though, if he says an after toich kedei dibur, then it doesn't matter. Even if he says that he meant it to, that he meant to say both of them, then we still only make the first one chal. That's our choice system. The Rambam doesn't learn that way. The Rambam learns that it doesn't matter how long apart it was, even if it was, whether it was a toich kedei dibur, whether it was after kedei dibur, it really depends on what he actually intended. Which would mean we have to ask him what he actually intended. Or we'd have to tell from the way, he worded it. If you see him saying, Tmuras Ola, wait, I meant Tmuras Shlomim, then obviously he meant to change his mind. If he says, Tmuras Ola, Tmuras Shlomim, then it means both. Says Rabbi. Okay. Alright. So now, Iboilahu. So now we have a question as follows. Okay, so that's the Machlokes. The question would be, the case in the Mishnah though was where he said, Tmuras Ola, Tmuras Shlomim, where he used the word Tmuras White. So there, you could argue, only there is Rabbi Meir saying that it means after the first one, not the second one. And Rabbi Yossi arguing it could mean both of them. So the question is, what about if he says, HaRezu Tmura Oila Ushlomin now? What if he doesn't use the word Tmura twice? What if he just says this is a Tmura of an Oila and a Shlomin? What would be the deen? Or what about another possible?
You know, one or the other.
Well, that's what we have to ask. Does it mean one? Well, if he said Ushlamim, no. Well, obviously he said Ushlamim, but the question is, does it mean, again, as soon as he says Tmuras Ola, then it's too late, it is an Ola and there's no change in that? Or does he mean just, therefore, again, Rameyer would say, therefore, that it is a Tmuras Ola and there's no coming back from that. And Rav Yossi would say, since it was Toshkida Dibra, or since he clearly didn't mean to change his mind, then it would be both. Or maybe even Rameyer would agree if he said twice Tmura, okay, then it means he said Tmuras Ola and then he wants to retract it and do Tmuras Shlomim and that doesn't work. Maybe if he says Tmuras Ola or Shlomim, it means Rameyer would agree that both.
We've had similar things.
Yes, we've had similar things in Darim, also in Baba Kama. In Baba Kama, it was in connection with. In Baba Kama, I think it was in connection with Teshlumi Avav Hamisha, with the case over there where it steals an animal and then sells it, and then sells it or shafts it or whatever. But this kind of question comes up in a few, the whole concept of Tvois Loshen Rishon or Tvois Loshen Acharon comes up in other places as well. We had it in Baba Basra, right? I don't remember, but we had it over there. Yeah, we had it over there in the Didim of Yerusha or something, yeah. Okay, fine. All right, another question you can ask, what about lachzayis mahu? So, you could argue, let's say that if he says tmuras oila ushlamim, then it doesn't matter. It's too late. Once he says tmuras oila, then Rav Meir would say it becomes completely a tmuras oila, and then they're changing it. But what if to begin with, before he even says the word oila, he says lachzayis, that I want to divide it for an oila and a shlamim? Now, we have two ways of looking at it still. On the one hand, we can say, well, he clearly said he wants to divide it, so obviously he's not changing his mind or anything, and to begin with, therefore, only half of it becomes an Ola, and the other half becomes a Shlomim. Or you can argue like this. Bechlal, if a person were to be makdish half an animal, the whole animal becomes Kaddish, because we learned before, we have a something called Eva Shana Shama Tluya, but if you makdish something that the animal's life depends on, you know, this comes up with human beings as far as Erechim as well, but whatever, then the whole thing becomes Kaddish because it can't live without that part. If you were to say, for example, the head of this animal is a carbon, or the heart of it is a carbon or whatever, then the whole thing becomes Kaddish. As opposed to if you said the leg of it is a carbon, then not. Now an animal can't live without half its body. So therefore, another way of looking at it is, what are you saying? You're saying half for an Ola, but as soon as you say half for an Ola, automatically the whole thing becomes an Ola. Then there's still no room for the Shlomim to be half. So you can ask about that case also. Tosis mentions another possibility. Lachzos can also mean that he says that the lachzos can also mean that he says that he says he can say he might say for half the day I want it to be an ola, for half the day I want it to be an ola, and for half the day I want it to be a shlom. Or it could mean that he's saying at chatzos I want it to become an ola and a shlom. So whatever, anyway, the point is, so we have those questions. So again, what if he says Tmuras Ola Shlomim, and what if he says Lachzos, according to any of these possibilities?
I'm going to buy a Bahavade Mayor to the mayor. So Abaye says in those cases, the mayor will definitely have to agree that we can't say it became a Tmuras Ola and therefore there's no room for it to become a Tmuras Shlomim. Obviously, the way he phrased it, there's no room for anything else.
Then,
and so therefore, necessarily, it means that the mayor would agree with Rav Yossi that it's half Ola, half Shlomim. And therefore, in other words, that you wait until it develops a mum and sell it and buy an Ola with half the money and a Shlomim with half the money. Because he didn't say Tmura twice, says Abaye. Now, Rava Amar by Adayin he Machlokas. Whereas Rava says, no, even in that case, you'll still have the Machlokas, the mayor will still say that you go according to the first one. First, Losh and Mishnah. Okay.
Like Rabbi Yehuda.
Like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Well, that's how we're going to relate it to our Mishnah. Wait. Okay, so wait. Amar Rava lo Abaye. So Rava says to Abaye as follows. L'didach ta'amrit b'havadet murder the mayor. Listen, according to you, that you're saying, in the case where he says Tmuras Ola Ushlamim, or in the case when he says Lachsoi, you're saying that Rav Meir would agree that it becomes both, it becomes a Tmuras Ola and a Tmuras Shlamim. Harei Shchita, but consider the case of Shchita in our Mishnah, the Laki Lachsoi Zami, because our Mishnah is similar to the case of Lachsoi, because when you shech the animal, you have many kazetim in it. You're able to have a thought during the shchita of that one kazayis you're going to eat chutzos mana and another kazayis you're going to eat chutzom kaima, because there are many different kazetim over there. So that in that sense, it's like Lachsoi, that you're planning to divide it, or pligi. And yet we see in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagree, where Rabbi Yehuda still says, according to Rabbi Yochanan anyway, So that's the question, in other words. So if Rabbo, who say that Rav Meir and Rav Yossi disagree in both cases, even in the case of last place, okay, fine, and that explains how Rav Yehuda is able to argue in our Mishnah. But if everybody agrees on last place that it is both an Ola and a Shlomim, then in our Mishnah, how do you have? Then you're going to have within the Shchita itself, you have thought of Machsheves Man, thought of Machsheves Mochem, and it should and one contradicts the other, and it shouldn't be able to become table. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it can. Amalei, so Abaye answers him, Mi Sabres Einel Shchita Elul Vasoy. You're thinking that the Shchita only takes effect when it's completed. So therefore, in other words, you only have a moment over there that at the end of Shchita, when his Machshava is able to take effect. No. Yeshna l'shchita, mitzchilav adsoif. The Shchita is effective from beginning to end, which that concept also comes up in a few places in Shas, by the way. For example, you have the issue we talked about briefly in Avodah Zarah. We talked about the case where a person shechts an animal in l'shem Avodah Zarah. So that comes up mainly in Cholin. There's a whole story about it. So what if, for example, he were to have such a thought at some point during the Shchita, not at the end of it, for example. So you have that, you have other
things to fight.
So that's the point, I was saying, that Yeshna v'Shchita mitzchilav adsoif, Shchita exists from beginning to end. The whole period of Shchita is considered, is a time when things can happen, therefore it means, in other words, So therefore, Umishnafenu. So what is the case of our Mishnah? What's the case where Rabbi Yehuda is arguing that you're able to make the korban pigul even though there's also a machsheves mafim because you had a machsheves man first? The case would be the almost simen rishon chutzos mane simen sheni chutzom kaimer. For example, he says during the shechting of the first simen, he says I'm planning to eat or burn the various parts of the korban chutzos mane. During the shechita of the second simen, he says that he plans to do chutzom kaimer.
And if after that, then according to this principle, he reverses it. He says, "No, I'm going to do."
No, once he said it, there's no reverse. But the point is that the point is, within the Shchita itself, you don't say only at the end of the Shchita is when the Machshava is out. So anything said at an earlier point of the Shchita, because when you get down to it, you have to shech both simonim in order for the Shchita to be valid. By an animal, you have to shech most of the way through both simonim for it to be valid. So you could argue, therefore, the shchita of the first simon, therefore, in and of itself is not a shchita. If you were to only shech one simon, one of the pipes, then you haven't performed the proper shchita. If you left it at that point, the animal would be nevela. So therefore, you could conceivably argue, which was what Rava, which is what Abaye says to Rava, you seem to be thinking, Ein la shchita ela la sof. Only when you get to the end of the shchita is it considered a shchita, and therefore any thought that you had before that is not chal. But the answer is that you're able to have one machshava during one part of the shchita and a different machshava during a different part, and according and each one will be chal in its time, and according to every hoda. Therefore, if the first one was machshava zman, that will be table. Because the shchita of one siman is a significant enough act that we can say that you're able to create pigul during that time. Now, Tosfos points out, by the way, this would not be the case. We wouldn't say, let's say, for example, that if within the shchita of one siman, he had a machshavas zman and then a machshavas machim. That not. You have to have a defined thing. You have to have a major defined thing, such as the shchita of one siman.
So if during the shchita of one siman, he said that they had machshavas zman.
Right.
And then before the end of that siman, he says, I'm going to do it on time.
Then it would not, then Tosfos says it would not be tickled.
It would not be tickled.
It would not be tickled even according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Even
according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chachamim, sure. But,
because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the sequence.
Yes, but even Rabbi Yehuda, says Tosfos, you need to have that there's a defined thing. Dover HaMasuyim, Tosfos says. There has to be a defined, meaning in other words, one complete siman is a defined thing. With less than one sim, yeah. You finish that part of the shchita. You finish the shchita of that one sim. You can't say as you're starting to do it, you're going to say one thing, and then as you're continuing it, before you reach the halfway point, or the majority point, or whatever, of that sim, that you have a different machshava, and they should be chal. That's not going to work even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Basically, what it is Rabbi Yehuda holds of a concept, which we're going to learn later on, a concept called, Rabbi Yehuda holds mefaglin b'chatsi matir. That it's possible to create pigul using only half of what makes the animal mutter. In other words, what is it that makes
Rabbi Yehuda?
So we're going to discuss that primarily in the next paragraph. But the halacha is that not. The halacha is ein mefaglin b'chatsi matir. When you have two things that have to be done in order for the korban to be kosher, and you have in mind two parts of one avoda, that is, and you have a machshavas man, a machshavas makam, during only one of them. Or machshavas zman, that is, we're talking about pigul, that's not enough to make it pigul. You need the entire thing. For example, over here, according to the Chachamim, you would need to have machshava during both simanim for it to be pigul. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. Rabbi Yehuda holds mefaglin b'chatsi matir. You're able to create pigul using only one of the two matirim. But nevertheless, you at least need that one. Fine, but that's the Chachamim don't hold like that, but then halacha is not like that. Halacha is like Chachamim, right. But it's not one avoda is incomplete. Within one avoda itself, he's having the two parts, and you need both parts to be done with machshavas man. But if you only did one of them with machshavas man, it's like having in mind that you're gonna eat a half kazayas with his man. There's no shiur over there. That's how it is, anyway. So if you're holding
no shiur, so then it's just one avoda.
What it means is, in other words, we ignore the machshavas zman that he had on one half of the avodah, and we focus. The fact is, the other half of the avodah was done b'kashrus, and therefore it's okay. If it was within, again, if it was across two separate avodahs, then not. But, okay. Anyway, so yeshna l'shchita mitzchila b'ad sof. The shchita exists from beginning to end. Throughout the whole process of shchita, you have the things can be done to passel it. And therefore, umishnafsenu, drama simon mission for Suzmanis, simon sheni for Sumkoiman. So our missioner, Rabbi Yehuda, is talking about that during one simon, he had in mind Chutzlazmanu, during the second one, he had in mind Chutzlazmanu, right? And therefore, that's enough to make a tickle. Where the Chachamim would disagree with that. But therefore, so that's different than within one simon itself, or it's different than the case of Lachtos that we said before, where he says, Lachtos, Oila Shlomim, to make Tzmura, half Oila, half Shlomim, where Rabbi Yehuda might agree, and Abaye is saying that Rameo would agree that in that case, both, Oila and Shlomim.
If
he says Lachtos, Oila Shlomim. To make it happen. Yeah. Well, no, that's the point. There is all at once. Shchita is not all at once. It's shchita has stages.
When does it say that? Before the shchita?
Lachtos Oila Shlomim is talking about tomorrow. There's no shchita involved. But there it all takes effect at one time. Here we're talking about the shchita has stages. Simon 1, Simon 2. Okay. What about the act? are a kmita. What about the kmita of a mincha, where Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim have the same argument over there about if you had in mind a kazayis inside and a kazayis lamachar, a kazayis outside a kazayis lamachar, etc. The laki lahasos dami, again, it's like lahasos because again you have many kazayis in the mincha. Whatever, mincha is the minimum mincha is an isorin, which contains many kazayis. Isorin is a shir chala. So it has a lot of kazayis in it. Yeah. Whatever. Okay. Hopefully, and they're also they have a machlokas. And lachora, the kmitza is a single act. You do the kmitza. The answer is hasam nami because they're also no. The mincha does have two parts. Shehichter kaimus mincha chutzlus mano kaimus lozona chutzlum kaimus. Because within the mincha itself, you also have two parts to the matzir. You have the kaimus, the handful of the mincha, but you also have the lozona that's placed on the mincha, which is then lozona is frankincense called in English. It comes as grains, like granules, which is placed on top, sprinkled on top of the mitzvah. Then what the Kohen does is he gathers all of it, puts it off to the side, he does the mitzvah, then he collects all of that and puts it together with the Kohen and takes them to be burnt. So there also you can have, when he's doing the Kohen, he has in mind Kutzlus Mano, and when he's doing the Levona, he has in mind Kutzlum Kohen. So there also you have two parts of the mitzvah. And they also, by the way, the Chacham hold the same thing over there in Mefagz and Bachasi Matzer, that if you had a thought of Chutzlus Mano when it came to the Kaimus but not the Levona or vice versa, then it wouldn't become Pekul. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. According to Chacham, yeah. Okay. What about Harei Kaimus Minchas Koite? Fine, but what about a Minchas Koite? What about a Korban? What about a Korban Mincha brought for a Korban Olav Yehuda? The lack of Levona Bahadeh, there's no Levona involved over there, because the Mincha is brought without oil and without Levona. Hopefully, and we see that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim apparently agree on that. Apparently, disagree on that case also. So there, it's all a one-stage thing. So again, Rava says, I who hold that Rameyer disagrees even in the case of Lachasoyt, I have no problem with that. But you who hold that he agrees in the case of Lachasoyt, in the case of Tmura, that's both now an Ola and a Shlom. So what are you going to do with Rabbi Yehuda in the case of Minchas Koite? The answer is loyally. Okay, Abaya would say, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim package don't disagree in that case, because then there's only one master.
And therefore
they agree. They agree in that case that you're not able to create pigle by having a machshavas man together with some other machshava during the kmitza itself. Because there's only if there's too much here.
Is that a one
or two? No, I don't think so. Amar Abashi. Besides which, you could also have another possibility. Maybe you could argue, even by Minchas Koite, but you could say Pligi Lipsius. You could argue that they disagree about when he's walking over to the Mizbeach. You could argue, he has to walk over to the Mizbeach, right? So he has to do Halacha. So during the steps that he's walking over to the Mizbeach, again, you could have, let's say, during the first step he has in mind Chutzlus Mano, right? During the second step he has Chutzlus Mano, right? And again, steps also are considered definitive things by themselves, like simonim. And therefore, Rav Ashi says, you could even argue Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim maybe would disagree by Minchas Koite, because fine, during the Kmitza itself, it's impossible to have two different thoughts that should take effect, that where one takes effect over the other. But you can have one doing the first step and another one doing another step.
So you could have.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So the Gemara summarizes, Rav Shimi bar Ashi maksin kedabaya. Rav Shimi bar Ashi learned the previous braita about the case of Tmuras Oyla, Tmuras Shlomim. He learned it like what Abaya says, that in the case of Lachasoy, Rav Meir would agree that the animal is both a Tmuras Oyla and a Tmuras Shlomim, that we don't say Tmuras Shlomim. Rav Huna bar Nosson maksin kedabaya. Rav Huna bar Nosson learned it the way Rav said. The author of Dimi, they learned it respectively. They learned this Mishnah that I recorded before, but Smora, they learned it respectively according to our buyers and robbers' understanding. The author of Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said as follows, Rav Meir b'shittas Rav Yehuda Amra. This statement of Rav Meir in the Mishnah about Smora follows the opinion of Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, which is why we brought this in again. And the Amr of the Tanan, Amr of Yehuda, Zachbal, in Machshavas as man, Kodmas as Machshavas as Makim, if the Machshavas as man came first, Pigol v'chayom and all the Kodis, then the Korban is Pigol and you have Kodis for it, because why would that be? Because it's first washing issue, because you go according to the first washing. And once it's Pigol, then it can't become unpigol. because we didn't yet say that explicitly. We didn't say explicitly that the mayor holds the coin to the order.
No.
We were kind of assuming it because
no,
we were asking.
The mayor holds the coin to the order, but we knew what religious.
Fine, but it is common when the Gemara mentions this, that the Gemara will quote what Rabbi Yehuda actually, the Gemara will quote the actual words from which we see what he says. Okay, Omale Abaya, however, Abaya asks Rabbi Yimi, Baha Rabbi Baba Chana Om Rabbi Yechanan, but didn't Rabbi Baba Chana say in the name of Rabbi Yechanan? That is not really that much of a machlokes. Ki magas lahu Rabbi Rabbi Yosi Badi Adadi. If you try to equate, to put closer together what the mayor is saying, magaslahu means literally you touch them together. That's
yeah.
If you try to equate together what the mayor and what Rabbi Yosi are saying, if you try to compare them one against the other, then you can see they're not actually arguing. Neither of them, as the Gemara is going to explain in a minute, what do you mean they're not arguing, means neither of them hold choice, losh, and rishay. So you can't say that they're holding like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is saying in our mission over here, it's choice, losh, and rishay. But neither the mayor nor Rabbi Yosi holds with that. So you ask, what do you mean, the light pligi? What do you mean they don't argue? We see clearly that they argue. That the mayor says that that Dvarav Kayaman, and Rabbi Yosi says that it depends whether he changes mind or not. Amalei, sort of, Abaye explains. Let me explain what I mean. Let me explain what Rabbi Baba Chana meant. They do argue about what they explicitly argue about. But they don't argue about what they're not explicitly arguing about. In other words, we can show that in the cases that they're not talking about, they don't really argue.
They only argue
on the explicit case they mention. And therefore, from that, we can see that the machlokas is not really on the question of choice, losh, and rishon or not. Namely, the amr of yisrael. Right. The premise of their argument is based on something else. Namely, the amr of yisrael by yosef, amr of yechanan. Hakol moedim heicha the amr tochol du va'achaka tochol du. If everybody agrees, both the mayor and the yosef, that if he were to say first it should become a tmuras oila, later on it should become a tmuras shlomim. Then everybody agrees it can't be chal because once he said it's a smurah oila, it's not able to become a smurah shlom instead. So therefore even Rav Yosi would agree that it's not chal over there. Yeah. On the other hand, loy tochol du elim ken cholodu. But if he says that the second one shouldn't be chal unless the first one is chal, then Divrei Hakol Chayla, then everybody agrees that both of them are chal. Therefore, even the mayor will have to agree that you leave the animal to graze so it develops a mum and then use the money half for Ola, half for Shlomim.
You put both together.
If you've explicitly said, I don't want the second one to be chal unless the first one is going to be chal. I don't want this to be a Tmuras Shlomim unless it can also be a Tmuras Ola. Or the other way around. Well, that's the point. Is the actual case that the actual wording that they argued on, where he said tmura sarla, tmura shlomim. So what is the machlokes? Not because it's choice, losh, and rishon or not. The machlokes is rather as follows. If it was a matter of choice, losh, and rishon, or choice, losh, and achron, then they should be arguing in the other cases also.
Right.
If he said Tmuras Oila, and then he said Tmuras Shlomim, Rabbi Yosi should still be arguing and say, I don't hold a choice Losh Mishon. Why should the first one be Chal? The fact that we see that they're agreeing, the fact that Rabbi Yitzchak by Yosi is saying they would agree in that case, shows like this. So Machlokas is rather, Rabbi Yosi would agree with Rabbi Meir, that in that case it's a Tmuras Oila, not a Tmuras Shlomim. And in the second case, Rabbi Meir would agree with Rabbi Yosi. What is the Machlokas rather? The Machlokas rather turns on the following point. Rabbi Meir's daughter, need to have a little name of Tmuras Oila or Shlomim. Since he could have said the word Tmuras Oila Ushlamim without repeating the word Tmura again, Shlamina Mihadar Kahabe. That wording shows that he's changing his mind, and therefore he's using the word Tmura again. So nothing to do with choice Losh Mishon or choice Losh Nachron. We're trying to figure out from his wording what did he really mean. Rabbi Yosi, if he said Tmuras Oila Rishlamim, then Rabbi Meir would say, then yes, it'll be both. But since he said Tmuras Oila, Tmuras Shlomim, the wording that he used shows that it means to do it instead of, right.
One could be both and one could be
instead. Yes. Rabbi Yosi, whereas Rabbi Yosi would answer to that, he'd say no. because you could figure like this. If he had said Tmoras Olo Shlomim Hava Amina, then you would think what he means to do is Pauga Tmoras Olo Pauga Tmoras Shlomim. He means for half of it to become a Tmoras Olo and half of it to become a Tmoras Shlomim. Lahachi Amma Tmoras Olo Tmoras Shlomim. Remember the Kula Olo Shlomim Havia. Instead, why did he use the word Tmura twice? Because he wanted that the Kedusha of Ola should come on it, on the whole thing, and the Kedusha of Shlomim should come on the whole thing. He mistakenly thinks that it'll be able to be brought as a korban. Really, it can't, because
when
then,
if he says the whole thing
should be an Ola and the whole thing should both be a Shlomim, because he could think. If he had said Tmuras Ola Shlomim would mean he understands that it's not going to be brought as a korban, because you can't bring a half animal on a korban. But like this, he's saying Tmuras Ola, Tmuras Shlomim, meaning that he intends for the whole thing to be a Tmuras Ola and the whole thing to be a Tmuras Shlomim. He mistakenly thinks, well, it has one complete Kedusha, therefore it's able to be brought as a carbon. He's wrong about that, because the result is going to be the same thing. It's going to have to be less to graze, etc. But nevertheless, that's the reason why he used that expression, L'hach yom, Tmuras Ola, Tmuras Shlomim, remember, B'kola Ola, B'kola Shlomim, because he wanted to imply that it should be all Ola and all Shlomim.
At the same time.
So therefore, nothing to do with the whole issue of choice lashon mishum or not. Furthermore, we also see from this whole point that if you were to say tmuras ola ushlamim, then Reb Meir would agree that it's both a tmura, that's half tmuras ola, half tmuras shlamim, which means he doesn't agree with Reb Yehuda of our Mishnah. Reb Yehuda in our Mishnah said choice lashon mishum. That you go according to the first lashon. Therefore, in other words, once it became table, it can't become possible, or vice versa. Reb Meir evidently is disagreeing with that. Only because he said the word tmura twice, only then are we saying, therefore, that we go according to the first lashon, because then he changes his mind. Reb Yossi would disagree in the case of tmura tzayla, tmura shlam. But that's the point. That's when Abaya says they're not arguing, he doesn't mean they're not arguing at all. He means they're not arguing in a case like that. They're not arguing over the point that you thought they're arguing over, whether choice lashon mishum. They're arguing just in the case of tmuras ola, tmuras shlomim, but they agree in all the other cases. Either they agree that it's half ola, half shlomim, or they agree that it's all ola, as the case may be, depending on the actual wording that he uses.
But nothing to do with sequence.
And well, I mean, there is a limited extent sequence, because once it becomes an Ola, it can't become a Shlomim, but nothing to do with the actual sequence, nothing to do with choice, Losh, and Rish, nothing to do with when we have two statements that he says that contradict each other, that we should say, whether we go according to the first one or according to that, or according to the last one, that not. So the bottom line is, Reb Meir does not hold of what Reb Yehuda holds in our Mishnah.
According
to Abaye's understanding, at least. Omalei, so that's what Abaye says to Reb Dini, that how can you think Reb Meir holds like Reb Yehuda, if you see based on this explanation that Reb Meir and Reb Yossi don't actually disagree in most of these cases, only in the one case. Omalei, so Reb Dini answers, who Omalei to be? Okay, Rabba Baba Chana may have said, and Reb Yitzchak Bar Yosef may have said, that they don't agree. But I know how many Pligi, I hold they do argue in those cases. That's how I understand their Machlokes. Rabbi Baba Chana is entitled to have his opinion. I'm entitled to have my opinion. That even if he says Tmuras Olo Shlomim, Reb Meir would say Tkoy Shloshim Mishin. Therefore, I hold that Reb Meir holds the coin to Reb Yehuda. That Reb Meir over there holds the coin to Reb Yehuda. So there are others that, yeah, I hold that it's a matter of Tkoy Shloshim Mishin and Tkoy Shloshim Achronim. Okay. All right. Almost all of the Tamer of Moshe.
What's the halacha?
The halacha is like a chavim anyway. It's a moot point what Reb Yehuda holds. The halacha is like a Yehuda, it's not like a Yehuda in Amish. No, the halacha is like a Chachamim. As far as the Tmura, the halacha is like a Yossi. The halacha is like a Yossi. That depends whether we see that he changed his mind or not. So anyway. Ola Ula Vitamin Rav Oshia. Ula, or some say Rav Oshia, said as follows. Getting back to Amish. Efsha Yadin Chavrin Bavla. Maybe our colleagues in Babel know the answer to the following question.
Babel means
from Babel, yeah. Maybe our colleagues in Babel can answer the following question. In our Mishnah, when we said over here that, we said in our Mishnah that we had a case where he says, kezayis b'chus kezayis l'machar. The question is, kezayis kezayis tznan or kezayis v'chazayis tznan? Is Rabbi Yehuda saying that if he says kezayis b'chus, kezayis v'fnim, then we say tois l'shon rishon, and then we go according to the first l'shon, and it's figul in that case. But if you were to say kezayis v'chazayis, if you were to say a kezayis b'chus and a kezayis b'fnim, then it would be that you have two different machshavas combined together over there, and it's not tigul. Or kezayis b'chazayis nan, or does it be heard of me? Even if you were to say kezayis b'chazayis, then he would still say that it's considered two different machshavas, and therefore that's able to become tigul. That's the question. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what is the lashon in our Mishnah? Kezayis, kezayis tznan. Do we say in our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda is saying if he says kezayis b'chut, kezayis b'fnim, then we would say it's two different machshavas, ava kezayis v'kezayis, but if he says kezayis of this and a kezayis of that, divra hakol erev machshavas havi, then everybody would agree that it's combined together, machshavas, in other words, then you don't have one complete avoda that was done with machshavas makom or machshavas man, and therefore it won't become possible to figle. Or maybe the Mishnah is saying kazayis v'kazayis. Do little Yehuda prata habi, where even according to that, Rabbi Yehuda says those are considered two different pratim, one which is, each one is a complete machshava of their own, the kosher can kazayis kazayis, and how much more so if you said kazayis kazayis without the bomb? So that's the question.
So the question is, one way of looking at it, kazayis kazayis means
only then is it considered separate machshavas, but kazayis v'kazayis would be two machshavas trying to be combined together in one avoda, and that doesn't work. It's like we said before about trying to do pigul with only part of an avoda, or maybe not. Maybe even in that case, Rabbi Yehuda would say that. Yeah. Toshma, the bombing in Levi Mivet. We can prove it from the fact that Levi asked Levi as follows: Chishev lecho kezayis l'macha b'chutzma. What if the person has in mind during one of the avodas that he's going to eat a kezayis tomorrow and outside? So he has, on the same kezayis, he has in mind that he's going to do two things wrong with it. That he's going to eat it outside the Azara, and that he's going to eat it That was, he had in the Mishnah that he said that he had it in mind, kezayis b'chutz, kezayis tomorrow. One kezayis outside and one kezayis tomorrow. Here the lady is asking about the same kezayis. But the same kezayis itself. He intends to eat tomorrow outside Yerushalayim. Mahu, what would it be? Amalei, zur she'el. So Rabbi says, that's a good question. And the answer is, irv machshavas tavi. In that case, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that would be irv machshavas. It would not count as one complete machshava that would make the korban possible with people. L'macher b'chut. That both. It's going to be l'macher and it's going to be b'chut. The very same kezayis.
Would that be?
And he says,
why is this such a good question?
That's what we're going to discuss. Amal of fun of Rav Shimon Bar Devi, loy Mishnah Seinuhi. Why? Why is it such a good question? Isn't it exactly what it says in our Mishnah? Lecho kezayis b'chutz, kezayis b'macha, kezayis b'macha, kezayis b'chutz, kachzizayis b'chutz, kachzizayis b'macha, kachzizayis b'macha, kachzizayis b'chutz. In all those cases, possible the end by Karis, implying ha'idach, implying but any other combination of machshavas. For example, the case that Levi was asking about, kezayis l'machar and b'chutz. Eruv machshavas havi, apparently from the wording of the Mishnah, it means that anything other than those ones mentioned in the Mishnah would be considered eruv machshavas, would be a mixture of machshavas, and therefore not make it pigul. Amalei, so Rebbe answers him, hu shal b'dvar chachma. Levi asked me something very, very wise. A very good question. You're telling me that all he's doing is asking something that you could easily derive from our Mishnah? I'll explain to you. The difference is, Lidida, you, my son, Rav Shimon, Das Nisach Tauti, that I taught you both versions. I taught you that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagree whether he said kezayis, kezayis, or kezayis, vikezayis. So then, like Ashalom, So you don't have, so you don't find any difficulty with it. You don't find Levi's question to be such a big question, given that we said only, given that we had then only these cases in the Mishnah and no others, meaning that means the list in the Mishnah is exhaustive, and therefore anything else that's not listed in the Mishnah is not a machshava that would pass water according to Rebbe Yehuda. According, Rebbe says, I taught you that they argue over both, Kazayis and Kazayis Vikasai. So therefore, you're understanding now, well, therefore, anything that's not listed in the Mishnah is not relevant, right? The Degei, as far as Levi, Jalayas Nisa, Elachoda, as far as Levi, though, says Rebbe, I only taught him one of these versions. Now we're going to have to figure out which one. That's what we're going to get to. That's where we're bringing the Toshma. We're going to prove from it which one they're arguing on. So like this. Or Kazayis Vikasai. So I taught Levi only one of them. V'shaminu l'rabbanan v'kagarzi tati. Now then he overheard the Rabbanan in the Mishmedesh, all the other Talmidim, were learning both of them, Kazayis, and Kazayis Vikasayis. And the Savar, so he didn't know, therefore, is it that they actually learned it that way from me, or is it that they came up with that, they came up with that on their own? Well, the difference would be as follows. The Savar, so he may have figured as follows, D.D. Dafka, when I taught him specifically that they're arguing on Kazayis, he figures that means only in that case. Therefore, the case that they're talking about, Kazayis v'Kazayis, would be a case of Iruv Machshavas, where you have two Machshavas combined in the same Avodah, and therefore it doesn't count. Is that what it means? Or maybe the other way around. Maybe when they say that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim are arguing also on Kazayis v'Kazayis, then it means that's how it really is. They really do argue on that. Even in that case, it is considered separate Machshavas, and Rabbi Yehuda would say it's possible. Ulididi, Shiuri Shayovin. And what about mine, the fact that I only taught him Kazayis? Okay, I left out teaching him the other one. So therefore, Levi could figure that since he didn't teach me the whole thing, since he only taught me Kazayis, and he didn't teach me about what happens, what about the Kazayis, whether they would argue or not, well then maybe he also didn't explain it to them, maybe he left it out to them also, and didn't tell them whether the machlokes, that's why he has to threaten. That's why Rebbe is saying, Zul Sheila, that's a good question, because based on what he had learned so far, he has a very good question, as opposed to you, Reb Shimon, have already learned from me. We don't know, because that's what Gemara is asking. Did we say Kazayis or Kazayis v'Kazayis? So Rebbe tells Reb Shimon, I taught you both versions, therefore you have a clear what they argue on and what they don't. Levi, I only taught the one version. He heard the other Chachamim. He's learning both versions, so he doesn't know which one is the accurate one and which one may be left out.
But our Mishnah talks about both,
doesn't it? Did it? Our Mishnah said, Kazayis b'chutz, Kazayis b'macha, Kazayis b'macha, Kazayis b'chutz. It didn't say, but that's the question. Is the correct gersa in the Mishnah, Kazayis b'chutz, Kazayis b'macha? But if he were to do Kazayis b'chutz, Zik Kazayis b'macha, then Rabbi Yehuda would agree it's not stable. Or is it the Mishnah is properly supposed to say Kazayis b'chutz, Zik Kazayis b'macha, Zik Kazayis b'chutz, and even then Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's still pigle. How much more so if he said Kazayis b'chutz, Kazayis b'macha, Kazayis b'chutz? So that's, we don't know. That's what we're trying to figure out. But based on this little story with Levi and Levi and Rav Shimon, we're going to figure out what the answer is. So we have to figure, like the Hey Asmiye, which one of those two versions did Rebbe teach Levi? Ilema Kazayis v'Kazayis Asmiye. If he taught him the case with the Vav, where we would say that even with the Vav, Rabbi Yehuda would say it's still considered separate machshavas, and therefore the korban is pickle. Then Levi has nothing to ask about, because obviously then there's nothing left out. If they argue about Kazayis for Kazayis, they certainly argue about Kazayis Kazayis, and therefore Levi doesn't have to wonder whether Rebbe taught him one thing and left out the other. Obviously it would mean that both of them are implied. Obviously, the answer is that Rebbe must have taught him Kazayas Kazayas, and therefore we have the question, well, what about Kazayas Zik Kazayas, which he hears the other Talmudim learning, what would Rebbe Yehuda hold in that case? The fact that Levi has to ask the question implies that he was taught only Kazayas Kazayas. Okay, so then the question becomes, why is Levi then asking about a case of Lamacha Ba'ud? Why doesn't he ask if he boiled Kazayas the Kazayas? Why Taka doesn't he ask about what he actually hearing the other Talmudim saying, Kazayas the Kazayas, ask whether that's included in the Machlokas as well? What are we saying so far? We're saying like this. Rebbe told Reb Shimon, I taught Levi only Kazayas Kazayas. He heard the other Talmudim saying Kazayas the Kazayas as well. So now he doesn't know, are they arguing on both cases, Kazayas Kazayas and Kazayas the Kazayas? But in that case, then they're not arguing on Lamacha Bachot. They would agree that that's Iruv Machshavos. Or maybe they're only arguing on Kazayas Kazayas. They're not even arguing on Kazayas the Kazayas, and certainly not on Lamacha Bachot. So the question is, why is Levi going to Rebbe and asking him the question about Lamacha Bachot? If Rebbe only taught him Kazayas Kazayas, where there's still room to ask whether maybe Rebbe Yehuda agrees that Kazayas the Kazayas is not Tikkul, why doesn't he ask straight out about that? The answer is like, the answer is Levi figures, I may as well ask Rebbe one question from which I'll be able to deduce the answer to two questions. Because if I ask him about Kazayas for Kazayas, it'll work out well if he tells me that that's considered a klal. In other words, if that's not considered tigul, kolshken kazayis lamacha b'chus. Then okay, then I'll understand from that, then how much more so kazayis lamacha b'chus is a klal and therefore not tigul. That's not a klal.
If kazayis is a klal,
even though it's two different kazayis, then how much more so kazayis lamacha b'chus, which is only one kazayis? Eli, amali prata, but if I ask him kazayis for kazayis, and he tells me that Rabbi Yehuda does disagree on that one as well, Akasi Kazayas Lamacha Bachot coming by him, then I'm still going to have the question on Lamacha Bachot, which is only one Kazayas. So therefore, I may as well ask him about Lamacha Bachot, and I'll know the answer to both of them. However, the Gemara asks, Ihochi, Hashanami, fine, but then, so the way he's doing it now, so let's consider. So he asks him about Lamacha Bachot. So fine, then you could ask the other way around. If he tells him Lamacha Bachot is a prat, and therefore another Rabbi Yehuda will hold it is Kigul, Koshkin, Kazayas for Kazayas, well, and how much more so Kazayas for Kazayas with two different Kazayas? Eli Amalek Klala, but shouldn't Levi think to himself, I have the same potential problem. If he tells me that Lamacha Bachot is a klal, and therefore it's not Kigul, Akati Kazayas for Kazayas in both. Because in other words, it's one Kazayas to which he's trying to apply two Machshavas, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda will agree that those Machshavas don't passel it, don't make a Tikkul. Akati Kazayas for Kazayas in both. Shouldn't Levi think to himself, I still have though the question then, I'm still going to have the question, what's going to be the din with Kazayas for Kazayas with two Kazayas in? The answer is, Levi is not going to think that way because in Ken Mirtach Rola. Because Levi is going to figure to himself, the reason why I'm going to ask on Lamacha Bachot is because when he tells me that it's a klal, in other words, that there's no pigle involved, he'll tell that to me calmly. He won't be upset at me for asking. But if I ask him Kazayas for Kazayas, then he's going to be upset at me because he's going to ask me like this: why are you bothering to ask the question? Hash to Kazayas for Kazayas Klala. If I'm telling you that Kazayas for Kazayas, that two separate Kazayas is a Klala, and therefore that's not Tigul. Kazayas for Macha Bachot Meboya. How much more so Kazayas for Macha Bachot? So therefore, in other words, because Kazayas is two separate Kazayas, and if we were to say it's still a Klala, so how much more so? You should understand. Meaning that it's two different machshavas within the same avodah, And even Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that that's not table, because you have to have two separate machshavas within two different matirim, within two different matirim. If they don't argue on kezayis to kezayis, if Rabbi Yehuda agrees that kezayis zik kezayis is considered, that's not considered two separate machshavas, that's considered blending together two machshavas into one, which does not make it table. Then if I were to ask about him, well, what about Kazayas Lamacha Bachut? Then he would get angry at me, think lately, because he would tell me, you know already that Kazayas for Kazayas is a Kwal, because I just told you, shouldn't you be able to figure out logically for yourself that Kazayas Lamacha Bachut should also be a Kwal? So therefore, to begin with, let me ask Lamacha Bachut. Because you would infer, if two separate Kazayasim is still considered, that you don't say each one stands by itself, you're still saying it's a combination, and the carbon is not single, how much more so, and it's a klal, in other words, how much more so when you have two machshavas within one kazayis? So I would rather ask him on the machshav b'chutz, if he tells me that kazayis l'machshav b'chutz is a klal, then I will understand how much more so kazayis to two different kazayis. If he tells me lamacha b'chutz is a pram, and therefore, in other words, that is piggle, how much more so kazayis the kazayis will be piggle?
Why couldn't you?
What do you mean? Why couldn't you? It would be a pram, because if within one kazayis itself, but then how much more so within two different kazayis, and one b'chutz, one lamacha would be considered two different machshavas according to the Yehuda. And therefore, if the first one was pigle, then it'll be pigle. And then on the other hand, if he tells me that kazayis l'macha b'chutz is a klal, then I'll understand, okay, only that is a klal, but kazayis for kazayis is a prat. Because otherwise, if I can understand from that automatically what's going to be the din, because he would say, if kazayis for macha b'chutz is a klal, and therefore it's not pigul, but kazayis for kazayis is also, and kazayis for kazayis is also a klal, then when I ask him about kazayis for macha b'chutz, one single kazayis, he would get upset at me. Can't you understand on your own that since I didn't teach you about kazayis the kazayis, then obviously Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree on that. So therefore, by asking about kazayis l'macha, I'll have the entire answer, because that way he'll tell. Regardless, if he tells me that it's a prat, then I understand that kazayis the kazayis is all the more so a prat. There's two different kazayis. If he tells me that it's a klal, then I'll understand automatically that kazayis for kazayis must be a prat. Otherwise, when I ask him about lamacha b'chutz, he would get angry at me and say, why are you bothering to ask about that? I never even taught you that two kazayim with a vav between them is pigul. Why would you even think that in one single kazayis it could be pigul? Lishnachrina kazayis lamacha b'chutz prata kazayis kazayis nivaya. Same thing stated in different words, but the point is, in other words, that from that we can prove, therefore, what Rebbe taught Levi was the case of kazayis kazayis, and therefore, so now we have the answer. Now we have the answer that kazayis is a prat. They do argue about that one as well. That is why Levi felt comfortable enough to ask about kazayis l'macha b'chutz, and that Rebbe is not going to get upset at him. Why are you not asking about the other? Because even though he only taught him kazayis without the love, we're clearly two separate things. Levi is smart enough to understand on his own that what the other talmidim were learning, that they argue about kazayis the kazayis as well, also comes from Rebbe, as in fact Rebbe taught Reb Shimon, and they do disagree on both of them. So out of the three possible cases, kazayis, they obviously disagree on, the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda. Kazayis, zik kazayis, we deduce that they also disagree. Kazai for Macha Bachos, they don't disagree. Everybody would agree that's not big. So that answers the question. Well, my time now, but okay. So we've learned a number of different things as far as Tegel, and particularly we went through a number of a great deal of discussion about Rabbi Yehuda's opinion when we say and which Tanoim agree with him or do any Tanoim agree with him that we go according to the first lashon rather than saying that it can only like the Chachamim that can only be Tegel only if there's no other soul involved.
We go
back to Chachamim, but we went through a great deal of discussion trying to figure out what the Rehoboth is saying. And by the way, I mean, you know, I mentioned... So that's the thing, actually. A lot of times, maybe that's another reason why the Mishnah has to continue with Chachamim. A lot of times, for example, the Rambam will hold that if the Gemara goes at great length to understand somebody's opinion, it means the Halacha is like it. Here, where we're spending so much time analyzing the Rehoboth's opinion, maybe that implies the Halacha is like it. Therefore, we need to develop the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah to tell us about.
But we still don't answer the why we spend so much time on Rabbi Yehuda. He's not the Allah.
Okay, because the question of Lashon Rishon or Lashon Achron does come up in other places in Shas as well. So it's important as far as that to know. So.